Blog Talk Radio.
The Four Persons Inc. is a federally registered and licensed 501c3 charity. Any use of any of our content without our permission is prohibited by law. Our purpose is evangelization, education, and social action. Please go to our website at thefourpersons.com or our blog site at thefourpersons.net to make your tax-deductible donation by credit or debit card. You can also send a check to The Four Persons, Inc., P.O. Box 11214, Manassas, Virginia, 20113. To contact us, send us an email at email@thefourpersons.com. You are listening to The Four Persons Show on Blog Talk Radio. We are your enthusiastic and faithful Catholic apostolate. For more information about what we do, go to our show page at thefourpersons.com and our blog site at thefourpersons.net. To call in tonight with your comment or question, dial 515-602-9655. The number, again, is 515-602-9655. You don't know me, but I'm your brother. I was raised here in this living hell. You don't know my kind in your world. Very soon, the time will tell. You telling me the truth.
certain man had two sons. The youngest said to him, Father, give me the portion of inheritance that falleth unto me. And he divided unto them his living. The youngest son gathered all of his possessions and went to a far country, and there wasted all of his money on wild parties. After spending everything, there arose a mighty famine in the land. Starving! He was able to only to get a job feeding swine. He was so hungry, he'd gladly have eaten that fly, but no one gave him.
I ran away from home, traveled alone down a dark road. My soul tried it on my own, prone to sin. Never thought I'd see you again. This evil within just would not relent. Been the aggression, stressing, wandering. Knew you were the best when in the desert wandering, pondering why spiritual suicide. Took a look inside, realized I died. No surprise, see the pride stop me from coming back to you. Even though I knew in your mercy you renew my life. Thought twice on moments, hesitation on wisdom got me living in fear. Ritual salvation in my hunger, I fell under the wicked one's spell. Got on a ship that sailed on a one-way trip to hell. Man, overboard I fell to my knees when I remember the glory of your presence. Lord, allow me to re-enter.
When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's servants have more than enough food? And yet I'm here about to die of starvation. I will go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please, just make me as one of your hired servants. And so he went to his father.
On my knees, begging, please, a million apologies. Listens chronologically, no excuse for the life I lead. Oh, hey, cause he said he became sin for a sinner. Gave his life for a loser, so I could be a winner. When I call on his name, but it's not the same. Say my soul, so I'm to blame for jumping back in the game. Was I insane? The devil have the last say. Not that easy, I chose a way. Now I'm broken, I betrayed my Lord, my Savior, Son of God, Jesus Christ. Even though I left you, please come back into my life. My tears of shame, get back up, cause I'm not giving up. No way, just fight, gotta be fought. Not worthy to be your son, just allow me to serve you. Make me the lowest one, cause I know I don't deserve you. The place that's in your kingdom for the torn and tattered soul, left walking like it's
I'm not sure what happened there. It just stopped. I guess it didn't fully upload in time. That's what happens when you're pressed for time, I guess. Terry, that's a, even if we didn't get the whole thing, that's a song that you wrote and recorded, and I don't know why we didn't get the whole thing, just to keep the soundboard, just didn't upload the whole file. First of all, how you doing tonight?
Oh, pretty good, brother, pretty good. The last line you missed was, I left walking like a giant, now I'm crawling back home. And then I go back into the scripture about when the prodigal son goes to the father and, you know, he tries to spit out the words that he had recited. He says, you know, father, but the father just ignores him. And he, you know, says, hey, you know, let's bring out the fatted calf, put shoes on his feet and a ring on his finger. For this, my son, he was lost, and now he's found, you know?
Mm-hmm. So it kind of fits in nicely with the theme of our show. You don't see much of that genre of music in Christian music, let alone Catholic music. You don't see a lot of it. So that's the first thing, is that you're trying to reach a new audience, a different audience. Is that kind of intentional, or are you just kind of taking what you're used to and kind of honing it to your Catholic faith?
Right. I'm just taking kind of what I grew up listening to. And, you know, the devil doesn't own any genre of music. You know, he tries everything. God created music. And he created it for us to praise and worship him. And everything that God creates is the devil's MO to twist it and to pervert it. You know, so everything God created for good, Satan tries to pervert for evil. And so, you know, that's a genre of music. Of course, the stuff I listened to growing up was trash. So I wanted to, and plus in hip hop, you can put a lot more words into the song. And, so I like to use it because I'm able to paint a picture better with my words that describe, you know, the majesty of God. You know, in this particular song, the fact that even us baptized Catholics, you know, when we fall into mortal sin, the sacrament of reconciliation is always there for us, and all we've got to do is repent and go and ask God for forgiveness, and it's there. He gives it to us, you know, and then to go forward with the intent to not sin anymore, you know. And everybody knows, everybody that's Catholic should know about the sacrament of reconciliation, but we take it for granted. And there's I got, you know, brothers and sisters that haven't even followed the basic obligation of going once a year, you know. And that's kind of what the song's about is you know, you when we or you know, not just us as Catholics, but those who convert to the faith, who are sick and tired of living a life devoted to finding some type of twisted pleasure in base desires, where we're almost, you know, reduced to the level of an animal, you know, food and sex and drink.
It's
and,
a slavery,
you know.
It's a form of slavery. Right. You're just chasing the next high, whatever that is. Whether it's like you said, drugs or sex or whatever it is, you're just chasing that next high. It's a form of addiction.
Right. And you know, it's just you know, so amazing to me that if we just submit ourselves to the will of God, that he will change us inside out, you know. That's what I said in the song. I said, I found myself on a one-way trip. No, I found myself on a ship on a one-way trip to hell. But when I remembered his mercy, man overboard, I fell to my knees, you know, and just that whole song is just about remembering the mercy of God and forsaking self, forsaking sin, forsaking the base desires of our flesh, you know.
So let me ask you, do you play all the instruments? How do you produce the music?
So usually, I used to have a little, it was called a Dr. Rhythm beat machine, and well, that's what I used to use to create my own beats. And what you do is you just layer, like you make the sound, like usually you start off with a bass line, and then you add different types of drums, and you just add the sounds one track at a time, and then you layer them all together. I've gotten a little bit more lazy in my older age, and so now I purchase the beats from somebody who's already made the music, and you know, you pay them, and they give you what they call an exclusive contract, where that is now your music. And unlike a lot of most hip hop artists, they'll get a good beat and then write a song to the beat. Usually I write my songs like poetry, And then when I find the right beat, I just put my words around the music.
Mm-hmm. So how do you mix it? How do you mix it all down?
Most of my recordings were done using a software called Pro Tools. And what you do is you go in and you record, like you record the chorus, and then you record, you know, first verse, second verse, and then you start laying over, like, so I might record same verse and layer it on top of one another to give my voice more more volume, not volume as in turn up the volume, but more
body,
more meat,
more body.
You know, more body. There you go. And then, you know, depending on what type of music you're doing, then you'll do another couple of tracks where you're just doing like ad libs, like, you know, as you're talking, you might hear in the background like, oh yeah, or hallelujah, you know what I'm saying, kind of in the background. And you just lay those vocals over the tracks. And then there's a button on Pro Tools that says mix and master. You hit that button and it mixes it and masters it for you.
Well, I got news for you. I'm always trying to, you know, add things to make our apostolate bigger and better. I just purchased a portable studio, King Track Portable Studio. And I'm kind of toying around with it and learning it, and it's actually very, very good. It's got rhythm tracks and background tracks on it, but it's got the, you know, panning and gain and all that stuff, so I can pretty much do mic inputs or audio inputs, upload stuff that we've recorded, add stuff to it, and you know, tailor each individual track. Like I said, 16 tracks. So I've already talked to Lisa about it. And, you know, these are the kind of things that we can kind of collaborate and put our minds and thoughts together and come up with some pretty good stuff. What do you think?
Oh, it's pretty good. Do you know what type of mastering software you're using?
This is an actual portable studio. It's an actual portable studio. It's not software based. It's a portable studio.
It's a portable
recording studio.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Yeah, and then I also use Audacity software too. Kind of use the two of them in tandem.
Oh, okay.
I'll take something and, you know, kind of layer it into an MP3 and take it apart and put it into different tracks and then load it into the portable studio and add different things to it, different layers to it. I think that it's something that we can kind of collaborate and come up with some really good stuff.
That's a really good tool to have in the arsenal for teaching the faith.
Let's talk about music. I just recently read something
that
talks about how a lot of the popular music now is outright satanic. I mean, there's outright satanic influences in a lot of the popular music, and I don't care what you say. You can say, oh, I like the beat, you know, I just listen to music, whatever. Once that stuff gets inside of your head, it's going to have an influence. And that's why it's so important to do what you do, because it is catchy. It is something that you want to listen to. And it's important to have something positive playing inside your head than having something negative or dirty or even, like I said, demonic, right?
Well, yeah, that goes back to what I was saying about the devil twisting and perverting every good thing that God has created. And it ain't just with, everything in society is turning that way. is becoming more and more openly satanic. The, you know, sexual preferences and, you know, people just going so far outside the realm of reality that, you know, it's like we're living in a fairy tale. The music, everything that God created for good, Satan is going to, you know, try to pervert and twist it to, like I said earlier, to cause us to become just mere animals, you know, just mm-hmm. just living to satisfy whatever base desires are, you know, we allow our flesh to become the ruler of our soul instead of our soul being the ruler of our flesh.
Right. And is there any wonder as a result of that that we've become a far more violent society? It's what would be expected, right?
Well, yeah. And that's the reason why we, our apostolate and other, not just us, but other apostolates who take the faith into areas of the world that a lot of Christians won't go into, and that's why it's so important, is because sometimes the screaming gets so loud that you can't hear that still small voice. You know, the screaming of the world gets so loud that it drowns out the word of God, and that's why is so important for us to be courageous. I mean, it takes courage to be courageous and to go into them areas and share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. And the inner cities and areas like that, there's not really a lot of Catholics, especially not practicing Catholics. And it's because of that fear. It's because people have that fear of taking that message into those areas. But fear comes from the devil. Fear doesn't come from God.
Right, right. Well, I mean, you know, there's some from the devil. I mean, there's some fears that are reasonable and logical and meant to keep you safe.
Right.
Courage, however, which is one of the virtues, courage is the ability to be able to confront that fear face to face and to overcome it through God. You know, what is it? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's what the world is lacking right now, is courageous men. I too many times masculine men have been emasculated, have become men have become feminine in nature. You know, what I mean by that is, if you look around in society, you see a lot of soft men, soft-spoken men who are just scared. What's the term these kids use now? They need a safe space, you know? And that is turning the world upside down, because men are meant to lead. Men are meant to go into dangerous areas, just like the saints of old did, and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, no matter what the dangers are. Even when you're in fear of your own life, you go forward and you speak the truth, because the truth will set you free. And if I die, what did Paul say? If I die, I will see Christ. You know,
right.
For me to live I have died to my own flesh. You know, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know, and too many times men have failed to step up to the plate, and I think that's one of the you know, at least here in America, I can't speak for around the world, but here in America, I think that's one of the reasons for the decline in church attendance, to in the decline of conversions, because there's just not enough strong men. And I do want to give a shout out to Bishop Strickland. That is a strong, faithful bishop.
Yep. Do you know any other people that are doing music with you that you're working with or collaborating with, or just you know, people you'd like to point to and elevate their music?
Yeah. Well, I haven't recorded anything in a long time. My job and this apostolate takes up the majority of my time, so I haven't really had an opportunity, and well, now that I know you got a studio, the next time I'm out there close to you, I'm going to give you a call. But there's a Catholic group called Found Nation, F-O-U-N-D Nation, and they're actually led by a priest, and I got turned on to some of their music, and it's really, they got a song called Real Presence. They got a bunch of really good, if you're into that type of genre of music, they got some really good hip-hop Catholic songs.
Why don't you invite them on the show?
I don't know them personally. I could try to reach out to them and see if I could get them on the show. That would be awesome.
What's the name of the group again?
Found Nation.
I'm looking them up.
And as far as Catholic, you don't hear a lot of Catholic hip-hop artists, but there is a lot of Catholic Christian artists, and I do listen to a lot of them. But yeah, as far as bringing them on the show, Sound Nation will be a because it's a group, and I think it's like five or six of them, and they're led by a priest, and they all come from different areas. Like, I think one of them's from California, one of them's from Texas, one of them's from the Midwest somewhere. But yeah, that would be a good idea to try to get them on and you know, let them tell us what their ministry is, you know?
Well, guess what? I just did it. I just went to their website and filled out the contact form and invited them. So we'll, you can find
awesome.
Them at foundnationfamily.com is the website. I'm definitely going to bookmark that and check out their music. But it's foundnationfamily.com, authentic Catholic hip hop music. So, awesome. We invited them on the show, and I'll try to sample some of their music and see if we can, you know, play some of it on the show, and also play some more of your stuff on the show. But, you know, I'd like to get more and more of that stuff, you know, stuff out there. I remember there were a few songs that came out a few years ago that were Catholic, like one is The Gates of Hell Should Not Prevail. It was kind of like a hip hop song, and
that's them. That's Found Nation. Yeah,
that's
song.
Them.
Yeah,
that's they're
yeah.
the group that did that song.
Yes, sir. I do believe so. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Wow. And then you know, there's a few others. There was a band called The Thirsting. They're more like almost like a heavy metal Catholic band, but there's not that many that are in that genre, and we have that outreach. We have to have that outreach to reach that younger generation.
Oh yeah, and I believe they go to the World Youth Day on a regular basis too, you know, perform there. I don't know if they were there this past year, but I know a lot of times they go to that.
Really?
Yeah.
They've been invited?
Yeah.
Wow. That is really, really cool.
And all of their songs are, I mean, they're on point as far as being doctrinally correct. They are 100% Catholic, you know.
Heterodox and 100%?
Yeah, so 100% Catholic, yeah.
What's next in your life, Terry? I know your job's got you traveling all over creation. When are things going to finally settle down for you?
Probably not. I'm working on the second part of my book. You know, I'm going to edit the first edition. The book I wrote it exactly how it happened from the time I was born to the time I got out of prison. And so, you know, it's got a lot of, I lived a vulgar life, so it has a lot of vulgarity in it. So I was going to try, my Deacon Denny asked me after reading the book, he's like, man, it's a really good story. He said, but would you feel comfortable if this book was in a Christian store and an 8-year-old picked it up and started reading it? And I was like, no, I wouldn't. So I'm going to go back and edit out as much as I can and keep the story true. I'm going to try to edit it, the first part, and I'm almost done writing the second part now. The second part's going to be from when I got out of prison to what I'm doing now. And once I get that done, what I would like to do is I'd like to see if I can't turn that story into a movie, you know.
Well, I mean, I think that we have the we have the capability, we have the audio and video software in order to do something like that. What we usually don't have is the time. I mean, like you, it's
right.
The job just, you know, intrudes on so much of your time that you just don't have enough time to do all the things that you want to do. But this apostle is doing good things. In fact, William Hemsworth messaged me today. You want to hear some news that's going to blow you away? He's going to be on EWTN tomorrow. Did you hear me?
Yeah. You said he's going to be on WTN?
He's going to be on EWTN tomorrow.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, and he promised to plug our apostolate while he's on there. So that's really, you know, really, really big. And, of course, we've already had Carl Keating on, and E. Michael Jones, and Swan Sona, and Dustin Quick, and we've got Mike Aquilina coming up. We've got Deacon Harold Burke Sivers coming up, and Dr. Scott Hahn is in the works to come in on our show.
Oh, that's great. That's great. He was very important. His books were very important tools in my coming to the Catholic faith, you know.
Many, many people have echoed that sentiment. I can promise you that. He's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant man. He really is.
The reason I want to get my story turned into a movie is because like I said, the devil always tries to pervert everything. And so many people, they look up to, especially in the life, they look up to gang members and gangsters, like if it's some type of great thing to be, you know. And I want to tell the story from both sides. You know, I want to show them that, no, it's not great. You know, this is what happens. You either die or go to prison. And the other part is, this is what happens when you change your life. You know, I got out of prison, dude. I didn't know anything. All I knew how to do was sell drugs and rob people. You know what I'm saying? I had no marketable at all. And all I had was a desire to serve God and a desire to not go back to prison, right? So, I started working with my hands, started off as a laborer, and worked my way up the ladder. And now I got don't get me wrong, it's hard work. I travel a lot. But
mm-hmm.
I got a career. I got a family that loves me, you know what I'm saying? And I don't have to worry about anybody shooting me in the back, or I'm not on the lookout for the police no more. And it's possible to make that change. It's possible to go from bad to good. And I just, you know, I want people to know, I want people to realize that it's possible, you know?
Right. And I hear you. You're not whitewashing it. You're not saying that it's a piece of cake. It takes hard work. It's going to take some effort. But when God blesses your efforts, you can do great things. And if God's opposed to your effort, it doesn't matter how hard you work. if you're in opposition to God, if God puts his blessing on what you're doing, things can move in a positive direction. And also, by the way, I just wanted to say hi to Mrs. Delp. She's listening on the switchboard. So I just wanted to say hi and wish her Godspeed. Hope things are doing well. Where are you at now in the country, and where are you headed to next?
I'm in Georgia. I'm not sure how long this job's gonna last. After this job, I'm depending on how long the job lasts. I'll probably be home for the winter, and then for Christmas, me and my wife are joining my brother, and we rented a cabin in the Smoky Mountains.
Wow.
And so we're going to have fun this Christmas. But usually we shut down for the winter. If we finish before October the 17th, which I don't see us doing that, but if this job finishes before October 17th, I got to go cover for a guy in Indianapolis. But like I said, I don't really see that happening. I'll probably finish this job and be off for the winter.
Yeah. Well, I hope that happens. I hope that you will be able to wrap things up and have a nice winter, have a nice Christmas with your family.
Yeah. And I need about 2 weeks, because I gotta get my dog's balls chopped off. He's getting a little too aggressive.
That might have been a little too graphic or a PG show.
Yeah, he's getting a little aggressive, and the vet said castrating him is probably the best thing we can do. Or whatever they call it, neuter, when they do it to a dog, I think it's the same thing, but, you know.
So what exactly is it that you do in your job? What are you actually doing in this role?
So I work for an engineering firm, Tiger Brain Engineering, and we do heavy transportation. So like if Mostly we work for the Department of Defense, and CSX is our two main clients. And anything, but I mean, we've also got jobs where we've done some like on shipyards and stuff like that. And but anything that deals with heavy transportation, you know, we're like, yeah, we're probably in the industry as far as long-lasting pavements, long-lasting craneways, long-lasting taxiways, runways. That's kind of what we do. And
so you're pretty much not into the equipment itself, but into the infrastructure to support the equipment, transportation infrastructure.
Right. Transportation infrastructure.
Gotcha. Well, so I mean that's definitely a job that's very, very important to our country. I mean, roads and bridges and tunnels is how goods and services are transported from one place to another. And as soon as that breaks down, the country will know it in a hurry.
Yeah, for real. And yeah, mostly we do like runways, taxiways for the Air Force, and craneways and stuff for the railroad. You know, we design it, we do the plans, we do the specifications, and we also have people like me in the field making sure that the specifications are followed, making sure that all the provisions of the plans and the contract documents are followed to the T.
Mm-hmm. And why is that important? I mean, if somebody doesn't follow specifications, I'm guessing you could have like a catastrophic failure or something?
Well, I mean, look at the runways, for instance, right? If there's any foreign object debris whatsoever, like, you know, a little rock. So say we do a taxiway and it isn't, you know, compacted right, or we do a concrete runway and the aggregate is coming too close to the surface and breaks off. Well, all it takes is one little rock to get into one of those multi-million-dollar jets and completely destroy it. So yeah, it's pretty important to make sure that every detail is followed, so that there's no, you know, catastrophic accidents. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, because when a plane is taken off, it's doing like 250 miles an hour, right?
Yeah, when it's landing, you know, them jets are like, you know, they can be like giant vacuums, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So did they send you to school to learn this?
Not a school like a college type thing, but yeah, there's classes and certifications and stuff like that you gotta take. In fact, my next one, and this may be the hardest one I've taken so far, it's a giant book. I'm studying on that now. It's the ACI Transportation Inspector certification. I had to go through the Army Corps of Engineer Quality Control Management. I had to go through the American Asphalt Institute. So there's several cases you gotta have in order to do this job, and it just takes, you know, a little bit of discipline, a little bit of study, and kind of understanding what you're doing, you know.
Yeah. But again, going back to what you were saying earlier, when you were in prison, locked away in a cell, kind of hard then to envision where you are now, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, for real. I went to prison in 1991, and you know, I got out in 2009. So my idea when I was in prison of having a successful job was a job that paid, you know, $10-$11 an hour. I thought I'd be all right. So yeah, I've far exceeded that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Terry, from the time that you went into prison to the time that you came out, were you shocked at how much the world had changed? It must have been a shock to the system.
Yeah, well, when I got out, people were walking around with miniature computers in their pocket. You know, I had no idea what a cell phone was, you know, or how to use it. It was a shock, you know. There was definitely a learning curve there, and that's why I am so invested in the Brothers of St. Dear Kobe House and the prison ministry, because I know there's a lot of guys that are just like me, and you know, did a lot of time, and they don't know this world, right? They don't know it. And so it's real easy to get out and revert back to what you do know. And so that's, you know, that's one of the reasons why I'm so heavily involved with Deacon Denny and the Kobe ministry and the different, you know, things we do with the prison ministry.
Right. And so what are some of the projects that they're working on now? Is there anything that they're working on?
Well, I mean, you know, they gave us date last week. They got this 10 acres donated to them, and they're calling it the Kobe Village. And, you know, they're going to try to turn it into like a monastery for people who are really serious about their faith and just want to, you know, it'll be like a working monastery. So, like, you know, they'll work a full-time job and then, you know, spend the rest of the time in prayer or adoration, you know. That's what they're working on now. They're going to build, you know, small little houses on that 10 acres that are like 400 or 500 square feet for individuals to live at. And so that's the new project they got going on now.
It's absolutely fantastic, the work that they're doing. And I couldn't be happier to be associated with them. So next week, do you want to go, like, deeper into your music? By that time, I will have had a chance to upload, you know, some more of your songs. Do you want to go deeper, or did you want to go in a different direction?
Yeah, we could do that next week and kind of, like, you know, I could kind of explain where each song came from.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them songs were written while I was in prison, and I could kind of give the backstory to the song itself, you know.
Right. Okay. Well, on that note, why don't you lead us with a closing prayer, and then what we'll do is we'll pick that theme up next week. We'll be back and we'll talk more in depth with Terry Delp about some of his music and some of the stories behind some of the songs.
All right. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us of our sins, save us from the fires of hell, and lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, brother. You have a wonderful week, and I'll catch you at the same time next week.
All right, brother. God bless, man. Have a good one.